From Paul's house and Storm's house, it's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
Clamp on, clamp off, the clapper.
This is Paul.
I'm Storm.
See, I totally messed it up by saying this is Paul.
I thought you were
Paul. I was changing it up. I was being different.
You were being hip.
I was. Especially because I did the clapper on the very last podcast, and I let off with it last time, and you let off with it this time, and it threw me off.
It's because I had a reason for doing it.
I see. Nonetheless, we're going to talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average. Tonight, it is...
You said that very Muppety.
Yeah, a little Muppety. It was Muppet crossed with Bill Murray. Here comes the kid to the podcast. He's a Muppet. And he's about to announce the date. It's Tuesday, May 24th, 2011.
And this is show 113.
And wow, exciting things are happening, only half of which we can't tell you about.
Yeah. We have to be very cagey about this, but I want to start things off. We've getting a regular flurry of people asking us what's going on with Joko Cruise Crazy 2. While we are not authorized to say much, I think we can start to tease a little bit.
We're certainly to the dotting T's and crossing I's stage, and I meant to say it that way.
Yes. One of the reasons things are taking so long, for those of you wondering when the hell we're going to actually start selling tickets for this thing, and I'm using the royal we here, we're building our actual booking engine in-house this time around, so there's a lot of troubleshooting that goes on with that.
Kind of neat when we realized that there was a genuine programmer among us that could do that.
That's true, and it's not me.
And it's not me.
And there's just there was lots of little details that all have to get crossed and dotted and taken care of, not only from the booking engine standpoint, but from just sort of nailing things down with the cruise line and such. We are very, very close. We're going to be starting to actually announce things and make things available very soon, we promise. Believe me, we are just as eager, if not more so eager, if that's a proper phrase, which is it isn't, to get this ball rolling.
Yeah, there is certain
cruise ship shaped ball.
Levels of awesome that we wanted to have in writing. So
yes.
There's awesome that is going to be placed in our hands that cannot be taken away. That awesome is crystallized.
Yes. And everything that was great about the last cruise, it is our plan and intention to basically scale it all up. And I don't necessarily mean in numbers, although, you know, hopefully that'll happen as well. We don't have much control over that, but we're basically trying to make sure that everything that rocked about the last cruise is present and only rockin'er.
So what would you say, again, being cagey here, if the ship was being pulled by a team of 100,000 sharks? Not saying that's going to happen, but that would be kind of cool.
That would be pretty awesome. Unfortunately, we don't have the budget for that. That's 2013. Might have the 100,000 shark team.
I'm being cagey here. I mean, I'm just saying that's the kind of level of awesome we're talking
about.
I see.
I got you. Yeah, I got you. I thought you were leading to something. I thought that was a preface to, like, if the boat were being pulled by 100,000 sharks, where might it go?
Oh, no.
We are not revealing. That's why I was a little confused there.
No, if the boat were being pulled by 100,000 sharks, it wouldn't matter where it was going. You know,
yeah. You know what? I will say this. How about a little something for the listeners? Numbers of people have guessed as to which cruise it might be. At least one or some of you have guessed correctly.
I'm going to be a little cagey as well. There are some things that have been talked about in the forums. At least one of them is something that we had already been talking about, incorporating in what we're doing.
Yeah. Actually, even several of them.
Yeah, that's true. Even several. One in particular.
Guys, stop conjecture, please, because you're ruining all of our surprises.
No, no, we're not. There are plenty of things.
No, I'm just being a dick. Please, conjecture away. Conjecture-fy. I'm using a noun as a verb, which I always hate.
No, I just about conjected. I like to conject all the way to the edge of the pool, you know, because it hurts more that you can't dive in because you broke your femur like the week before.
And you can't get your conjecture wet or it will get all runny and wilted and lose all of its springiness.
Exactly. And your mom buys you a hot dog as all of your siblings use the pool, but it's just not the same.
Yeah.
I want you to feel that hot dog pain, people.
Feel that hot dog pain is the front runner so far. Were you trying for a front runner
for
the podcast?
No, that just came out that way. Speaking of penises...
nice.
Well, just we put the word out on Twitter quite often about what we should talk about. An unusually high number of penis-related suggestions. And I'm not suggesting we talk about penises.
No, but it is worth noting that there's increasing numbers of penis references for our podcast topics.
I think it's because we've been a little derelict in the frequency department, and it's sort of
That's true.
Way of expressing their dissatisfaction with that.
Well, as you know, absence makes the heart grow penis.
Now, I think we have a new front runner.
I was trying a little hard on that one.
That one was a little sweaty. A little sweaty.
That is, have we talked about this on the podcast?
We have.
That is like my favoritest adjective these days.
Yeah. The Patton Oswalt sweaty.
Patton Oswalt sweaty. Says everything you want to know about a script or a TV show or a podcast even. I don't have much in the way of topics other than our cagey discussion of Joe Kokiri's Crazy 2.
I got a bunch of stuff, and there's sort of the thing that a lot of people have asked about, and that is germane to our own situation as well. Do you want randomy stuff or the germane thing that we actually discussed talking about before the podcast began?
Oh, let's do a little randomy stuff first.
Sure. I've been doing gardening. I'm going somewhere with this and not just say, I like gardening. I like turtles.
Yep.
But I have, like, you saw it, like 7.5 tons of stone delivered to the house, retaining walls and gardens and stuff. And it's not the fact that I'm gardening that's interesting, because it's not very interesting. But that it's something that as late as, I'd say, even past college, I hated the concept of any kind of yard work. Mowing the lawn, any weeding, looking outside, anything that was tantamount to that.
Anything that involved the sun?
The
outdoors in general?
No, in particular yard work. I was being a little, you know, I was being all funny by saying, you know, the sun and all that.
Right.
But could not stand, get the point of gardening. I knew that if you didn't pull weeds and mow the lawn, that things would become a jungle. But didn't get it, you know, folks who are into it and garden clubs. And I'm certainly not there, you know.
Yeah.
Though I am investigating things. But I genuinely enjoy it now. It's kind of become a zen thing. Actually enjoy, like, thinking about what my next project is going to be. It helps that I'm building stuff. It's not just, like, you know, mowing the lawn where it's a task.
Mm-hmm.
But That's the question for you, Paul, and for you listening, is are there things that you just absolutely hated at some point in your life that you, if someone had told you, you're going to love this in 10 years, in 20 years, 30 years, however long, this is going to be like something you just, that you love, or even if it's not your favorite thing in the world, something that you absolutely did hate that you've come to more than just appreciate?
That's a very good question, to which I don't have a ready answer. I've gotten a lot better about cleaning the house. Only certain aspects of it, though. Like, there's things like laundry. Okay, there we go. I can't really necessarily say I enjoy doing the laundry, but in the same way how it's sort of a zen activity, just sitting there folding laundry. And mainly because I like jobs where it's sort of like doing a video game where you've got sort of a discrete goal and finite steps to accomplish said goal. Like, You know, there's a load of laundry in the dryer that you have to take out and fold and put away.
That was Zork 6, I think.
Yes. Yeah, it was kind of the boring Zork, domestic Zork. But just those types of jobs around the house where there's a specific goal, as opposed to just got to clean the upstairs.
Right. Right.
I like a specific thing, like got to scrub this toilet.
It helps.
I mean, I don't like scrubbing toilets, but you know what I mean.
No, but is there anything that, even beyond sort of something that, you know, you do at least gain some sense of accomplishment, like you can see you've done something, earned some points for it, but that you actually like?
Again, like is a relative word. My wife tends to do most of the outdoors work, like not mowing the lawn or anything like that. We actually have people that do that for us.
Sure.
Because I am a ginormously successful rock star. That's right. As far as things like gardening and arranging the flower beds and things mm-hmm. like that, my wife is generally in charge of that and she cares about it, whereas I probably would let it just overgrow with weeds if I had my druthers, just because much like younger you, I don't particularly care to be in the outdoors. However, yep. I am always in charge of digging holes.
Oh yeah, yeah, I remember.
The two things I really get a sense of accomplishment out of is digging holes to plant like relatively large plants.
Sure, very visible change. Yep.
And also digging out bushes.
Hmm.
It's very much like that whole sequence in Shane. where Shane and the farmer dude spend days battling with an aged tree trunk that the farmer's never been able to get out himself, and finally after you know, fire and axes and every possible thing they can think of, they finally manage to extract the thing. I get a similar disproportionate sense of accomplishment having taken out like a 3-foot bush from the side of the house or something.
Oh, it's terrific that you're a bushman. You're a bushman.
I am a bushman, you said, for some reason in a British accent.
Oh, it's more Scottish than anything.
I suppose it was Scottish. Nonetheless, pretty far away from Australia. But yes, I do like extracting old, ugly, overgrown crap from the lawn.
I'm going to call it right now. In 20 years' time, you are going to be absolutely nuts about motorcycle maintenance.
Okay, you call that. You know what? Let's put $5 on it.
Okay.
Put no it in the book.
No interest bearing.
No just interest bearing. No, just $5.
$5,001.
Or $5,021 or $2,031.
So, okay. So inflation or deflation won't matter. Whatever nope. $5 is.
Yep.
Well, see, one of us could be totally screwed if, like, there's massive either inflation or deflation.
That's right.
Or it's deflation, you know, if suddenly I don't think there's any historical precedent for it, but where suddenly a dollar becomes worth, like, $10,000.
Yeah. I may try and make deflation happen just so when you give me that $5, it will ruin you financially.
Wow, your supervillain name would be the Deflator. So I have another topic that's sort of tangential to the gardening thing, sort of musing about it. I'm looking at something called square foot gardening.
Mm-hmm. I saw you tweet about that earlier today.
God, I love it. Basically, you can take a 4x4 foot area, just like you can build a little raised bed
mm-hmm.
and plant enough within that space to feed two people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
for how long?
Well, for as long as it's producing, if you're in a warmer climate, and if you can mm-hmm. keep it going year-round, it's, I guess, forever.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing being, because it's all crammed in there like that, you're not wasting a bunch of water, you don't have to weed it intensely, so it's easy, you know? And I love easy. Like, I like difficult as well. Like, building a retaining wall is difficult yep. and fun and rewarding.
Yep.
But I love easy too, you know.
Easy's pretty damn great.
Easy's great. There's a time and place for everything. And for me, the time for easy is square foot gardening. Now, we'll see if I crash and burn on this season, I'll be cursing it later. But it's a very geeky pursuit, gardening. There are so many little things to know. It's an almost endless universe. I mean, just in terms of soil, there's science to it and variety of plants you can grow and seasons, all the variables, like as much as any, rotisserie sports league. I would like that, you know. I would go to a rotisserie sports league. not if it was like basketballs on a rotisserie, but if you go and talk sports.
You want actual sportsmen on a rotisserie?
Well, I've never had the long pig, but that's not what I had in mind. But anyway, as a tangent to that, it got me thinking, I'm kind of geeking out on food production, right? And thinking how great it will be. Let's say, you know, things really go to shit. I can plant, God, I don't know how many of these 4x4 gardens. Enough. Go ahead.
Sounds like somebody has been watching the commercials on the Glenn Beck show.
Well, and that's where I'm going with this, that's exactly where I'm going with this, is survivalists and militias are hardcore geeks.
Huh.
Yeah. I mean, batshit crazy in my estimation.
Yeah.
But their approach, think about first the survivalists. The whole thing where they start with a premise, which varies, but almost always verges into the realm of if not science fiction, speculative fiction. Imagining this apocalyptic world. And then being methodical about preparing for it, and then carrying it to the degree of I've never examined this world. You know, I'm not Ron Johnson. You know, John Ronson. Sorry,
or Ron Johnson.
I'm neither of these people.
Is your name Raymond J. Johnson Jr.?
You can call me Ray, and you can call me Jay. Everybody.
Is that guy still alive? Somebody look that up on the internet and tell us.
No.
I think he's still alive.
No, he passed away. I remember when he died.
Oh, really?
Being sad about that. Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah. Ray J. Johnson, no longer with us.
That's too bad.
Now we just have John Ronson. But you can be certain that there are all these products and methods and discussion boards. I say geek. I don't think they would ever agree with that. And I think there's I don't know if they're necessarily any more or less normal. And there's certainly, I don't want to conflate survivalists and people who are involved with militias, where there's a much clearer kind of violent bent to it, if not committing acts of violence, then preparing for that or defending oneself, if you want to put it that way. But I would say it's on the spectrum. It's on the geek spectrum.
I would not contest that. All so right. There you go.
Okay. I have another planting thing, but I think we should go to the Twitter feed because it's getting a little green in here.
Yeah, it is. It is getting a little smelling like loam.
It is loamy. Don't get me started on compost, because that, dude, there's nothing geekier than compost.
Compost is pretty geeky. We've had a composter for, at this point, almost 10 years.
Really? I had no idea.
Yep. Kim keeps one out by the garden. We throw our leavings in it. We have to be relatively scientific about what leavings you put in there.
Now, is it an open composter, or is it like one of the dealies where it's a bin that you can rotate?
Yeah, it's a bin.
Yeah.
It's not a rotating bin, but you lift up a flap on the top and open up a flap on the bottom. And
sure, you get the heat kicks in and the magic happens.
Yep.
That's fantastic. We can geek out about compost another time. So something happened this week that was relevant to us.
I thought we were going to the Twitter first.
Well, it's from
the
Twitter.
Oh, you are? Okay. You're using it. Okay.
Yeah. This is the one that we talked about talking about.
Yes.
In that Jonathan Colton, who at this point, you all know who he is.
Yeah.
He's been on the media prowl lately and did an interview with NPR's Planet Money, a terrific show I hear most evenings. They're the folks that when the whole mortgage industry went kablooey, they were the first ones to really explain it in a way that wasn't completely technical, but also not dumbed down.
Yep.
Amazing. Just amazing. And they were talking about music industry and how it's changed, not just the industry, but what it means for individual musicians. Is it better or worse for your average musician?
Is the internet better or worse?
Is the internet.
Is it good or bad for the music industry?
Correct.
Is really the question that they asked.
And in the short form interview, I thought it was a decent thing, where it just basically looked at Jonathan and what he's done and said, hey, it's worked for this guy. But then in an expanded podcast, it's sort of, I don't know.
They brought in a couple of guests from, and I can't remember the exact name of the show. I think it's called The Record or something like that.
Yeah.
The NPR show that talks about, you know, the music industry and such. And they had a couple of guests to discuss in greater detail.
I'm going to give them, one in particular, the benefit of the doubt that one of them decided they were going to play the other side of the issue, you know, to say, okay, here's, one of us will be the side saying it's good and the other one will be the bad, because frankly, her arguments saying that it wasn't necessarily a good thing weren't very convincing, and she didn't seem to believe them herself.
Mm-hmm.
But she very much, well, she did. She called Jonathan a snuggie, a snuggie, which is very amusing, but kind of flip way to dismiss someone that way in their career. The idea being that it was a fluke and it's just something that's interesting that people just suddenly flock to.
Right. Sort of it emphasized sort of the novelty aspect of Jonathan's rise to power, shall we say. Like, you know, Code Monkey got very popular on Slashdot, and somehow that magically made him famous. And her argument was, well, you know, show me some sort of formula where I can write a similar song that will get popular on Slashdot. They were theoretically analyzing the business model, but they spent the whole time just sort of looking at the results and saying, you know, there's no reliable way to replicate these results, to which, you know, we all said things like, well, of course, any more than in the regular music industry, you can't reliably repeat the Beatles results. You can't write a formula that will make that happen.
And Jonathan wrote a just astoundingly terrific, I wouldn't even call it a rebuttal.
Thoughts about the reactions.
Yeah. Basically exploring the issue in a way that the podcast didn't. And in part defending himself from the idea that he is a snuggie, but more so being disappointed, and rightfully so, that there was not really a true discussion about the changing nature of the music industry and how Jonathan's experience relates to that. And now I'm bringing it around to the Twitter feed.
Mm-hmm.
One thing in particular, and actually Peter Sagal was the first person I saw say this on Twitter yesterday. He remarked that, well, really isn't the real issue that our expectation of what success in the music industry is traditionally you have a Learjet and have billions of dollars and everybody know who you are.
Right.
So Chickazool asks, what is our definition of success in the music industry? I throw it to you, Paul.
You throw it to me. Okay. Reflecting on the fact that a great big deal was made of the fact that Jonathan let them say on the air that basically, reluctantly so, that, you know, he made $500,000 gross last year. That's not, you know, what all went into his pocket. But there was sort of a lot of concentration on that. And there was very little discussion, in fact, no discussion is what we do good for? Is the internet better for sort of journeyman musicians or people that are never going to have the widespread hit, massive fan base? And I would consider us, you know, more in that category. And I don't mean journeyman in any sort of pejorative term, but just sort of the people in down in the trenches, working at it, not necessarily massive profile, but more so than just people wandering from open mic to coffee house to wherever.
Niche musician seems to be the one, the term that's
gaining traction. I suppose so. And for me, my definition for success in the music industry, personally, has always been, is it what you consider your occupation?
Mm-hmm.
Which I have for the past, at this point, well over 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not to say that, you know, both of us have still, over the course of that time, done other work,
yep.
Supplemental work, you know, either when things were slow or just for the sake of having more income because, you know, we're massively successful rock stars and all of that, but sometimes you still need more. But I have always considered that work, both from a sort of interior emotional standpoint and from a how much time is spent on it and how much mental energy is spent on it versus what we do as Paul and Storm or as Da Vinci's Notebook before that.
Mm-hmm.
I've always considered that work to be supplemental. And yep. you know, when I think about it in my own head or when I fill it out on the tax form, mm-hmm. I consider my occupation to be musician. And I it's more than a passion. You know, we earn a decent living off of it.
Mm-hmm.
And as such, I consider that to have been a success. I can, you know, which is not to say I'm content to stay exactly where we are, mm-hmm. or that I don't want more money or anything like that. Everybody would always like to have more money, and be more famous, to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as if you're using the word success,
right.
that's roughly how I measure it.
Yeah, I'm pretty similar, and I'd sort of boil it down to. Are you making enough with it that you can continue to do it? And
yep.
And sort of the B part of that is in doing so, are you still enjoying it? Like
yep.
the fact is, okay, you're a musician, but you're playing the piano at Chuck E. Cheese and
yeah.
and you hate Chuck E. Cheese and you hate kids. Get me the hell out of here. You know, that's sort of part of it too. And I think a lot of people, not just in music, sort of end up, you know, doing that like, well, anyway. So, yeah, I would say that I would say that we've been arousing success and
we've been arousing success,
not ourselves.
That is the front runner. Arousing success.
That's right.
Two
Other
words.
People, we find we arouse the success in them. But
we've been getting the concept of success turgid,
turgid
or is,
success.
Or is it tumescent? I forget. I always forget which of those words I mean to use in this case. I'll look it up later.
I like turgid in this case.
It is a better word. It's also a better comedy word. So,
it's true. I think only because tumescent hitches too many people. Like people think it might be some kind of 19th century term for a flower.
Tumescent makes me think of sausage, and turgid makes me think of
a turd.
Slapstick comedians from black and white films.
Yeah, they were always,
talking
about turgid this and turgid that.
Turgid Pictures presents Fatty Arbuckle in What a Boner.
Did you see that thing? Don't know what that was.
No, I don't either, but let's move onward away from it.
Jumping back to the idea of things that you used to hate or dislike and that you now like,
mm-hmm.
I'm not quite there, but I've come to terms with Facebook.
Okay.
So for...
You have achieved détente.
Yeah, like I get it enough. And I feel like I'm not fluent in Facebook, but I can at least find the bathroom and a decent place to eat, you know?
Right.
And it's a very different, astoundingly different culture than Twitter. And I do find when interacting, there are a number of people who I see on both, but not many.
Right.
And most of them tend to be creators like us, where it behooves you to be where large numbers of people are.
Yep.
And so if you're on Facebook and you don't follow us on Twitter, please do like us. It's actually rather humbling that we have a...
Won't you please like us?
Yeah, that it sounds douchey, but it goes in with the whole Where's Poochie thing, dating back to our very first podcasts, that we rate very highly in the Twitter world because we've been very engaged for a long time. But in Facebook, it's only now sort of starting to grow because I think for a very long time we were absentee landlords. We're there now, so somewhat, but only you know, I guess we're like the sitcom character that only pops in every sixth episode, you know,
right.
Enough that
we're a Carmine Ragusa.
Yes, yes, we will go from rags to riches.
Or for those of you who are not over the age of 30, we're Newman.
Yes. Well, no. Well, I would hate to think we're Newman, but in terms of frequency, yes,
yeah, yes,
we're Newman. And one of the, if you are on Facebook and are not on Twitter, I will say one of the things that folks do on Twitter that they I don't see a lot on Facebook, which is a little bit douchey, is much more often you find people posting things without attribution.
Yeah, which is a shame.
And I think it's part and parcel of how you do things on Facebook, that you have to make extra effort. Like things, it's very easy to do things on Facebook, but only those things that Facebook wants you to do easily.
Yep.
And attribution is not one of them. So if you find something, and it's not because someone posted things of ours without attributing, they may have, we don't know, but just in general terms, I found that to be quite striking.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's, gotta say, sometimes it's pretty fun.
So, you just like Farmville, don't you?
Okay. Well, you're right. It's the whole gardening thing, you know.
And that brings it all right back around again.
And I think it brings us to a good point.
Yeah, that's we're a little over the half hour mark, so that's good enough for government work today, I think.
Where are we gonna be, Paul?
Where are we gonna be? Well, hold on, I will pull up my little list of where we're gonna be. Let's see. This coming weekend, we're in Canada.
Ketchup.
On the 27th, we'll be in Ottawa. At the Gladstone Theater, and then on the 28th, we will be at the Mod Club
in
Toronto. Those are both shows with Jonathan Colton, and they're going to be awesome.
Getting Canadian ketchup.
Yeah. And
poutine.
And Canadian bullshit Smarties as opposed to real Smarties.
Oh, he said it.
Burn. Oh. I totally did it. That's right. Your Smarties are chocolate. Anyway, we are going to the UK.
Yeah.
On 9 June... He said, switching around to European date style. On 9 June, we'll be in Bristol at Colston Hall. These are also all with Jonathan Colton. On the 10th, we'll be in Manchester at Manchester Academy 2.
Three.
Has moved. Oh, excuse me. No, it was 3. Now we've moved to 2.
Well, I thought 2 was where we started.
No, 3 is where we started, but now we are at 2.
Oh.
Yes, because we sold out. 3, and so we've moved over to the bigger venue. All tickets that were purchased for the Manchester Academy 3 will be valid, but you can still get tickets for that. And then on the 11th of June, we'll be back at Union Chapel in London. Beautiful Union Chapel, which is also selling like the proverbial hotcakes. If you've not bought your tickets yet, it might be a good idea.
Oh, it's an amazing place. Like, even if we weren't there, like to pay that ticket amount just to go there would be worth it.
Yep. And then on the 11th, on the 13th of June, we'll be in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
At Melkweg.
We're staying on a houseboat, bitches.
In Oudezaal. So that'll be our first time in the Nederlands.
Yep, treat us well.
That's right. Then, in the beginning of July, we'll be at Convergence in Minneapolis, doing a performance there on the Friday night of that con. Woodstock in San Diego, well over half sold out already. No guests announced even as of yet. That'll be coming soon as well. That's the 21st of July at the Balboa Theater. You can find all of that information at paulandstorm.com. I will also mention, even though the deal isn't 100% signed and inked, it is close enough that I think we can officially declare, although we've basically declared it in the past, that we are going to be at DragonCon this year.
Yes.
There's going to be a show with us and Jonathan on the Friday night at, I believe, that's not 100% official, but we expect there'll be a show at the Variety Playhouse where we usually play there on the Friday night, and then we'll actually be performing at DragonCon on the Saturday night. At least that's the plan.
It's part of the Ken Plume All-Stars.
That's right. I don't know. That's a semi-official name for us.
That's just the top of the head.
Will we get like jerseys and caps?
I would like that. You have to wear a costume at Dragon Con. Why not be a Ken Plume All-Star?
That's right. Oh, and Will, just tonight, Will Wheaton announced on Twitter that he's going to be at Dragon Con as well. So it's going to be a party. There is not going to be a Wootstock at Dragon Con, ladies and gentlemen. We are sorry to announce.
Stem that right from the start.
We would love it if it happened, too. It's not going to happen. But that's not going to say there may not be a bunch of fun special guests and cameos and stuff at the Paul and Storm Jonathan Colton concert on Friday night.
Don't know.
Variety. Don't know. Just saying, might happen. So anyway, all that's at paulandstorm.com.
All that and more, including the Paul and Storm Brigade of Minions currently standing at a force of 414.
That's a nice, that's all straight edges on those numbers.
Not the way I draw them, but.
Ain't no rounds. You draw rounded fours?
Rounded fours is where I'm at.
Rounded fours is also a good band name.
Yeah, actually, that could be a Beatles cover band.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's a
the rounded fours.
It's like all overweight people playing Beatles songs.
Right, they're all actually fat Elvis impersonators
singing
Beatles songs.
Beatles songs.
Yeah. I love me do. yeah, so other than that, I'm Storm.
And I'm Paul.
And we've been talking about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average. I saw a werewolf walking, what I was going to say was I saw Lon Chaney Jr. walking with the Queen.
Go do things.